Podcast updated yet with his most recent Zechariah sermons? So
get busy. So what you're telling me
is do I need to encourage the pastor? Is that what I need to do? So some of us in philosophy world, one is some. So one is some. So it's all or none, but one is some. So some of the congregation. We're driving back from Grove, Oklahoma, and listened to a reading of John Stott's The Cross of Christ, which is good. It's very good. But some of us would have listened to sermons on Zechariah.
That's a royal psalm, the royal psalm.
But some of us can listen to sermons on Zechariah this week. If some of us get them up.
Yeah.
All right. So this is, it's a big mistake to teach the pastor before he preaches, right? You know, so if all of the jokes are at my expense during the sermon, we'll know why. So now let's turn our attention to God's word, Zechariah chapter 11. I'll start with the first verse. I'll just add that the nice thing is, Paul, you know, I'm eagerly desiring to hear your sermons. Zechariah chapter 11, verses 1 to 17. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, for the glorious trees are ruined. Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has been felled. The sound of the wail of the shepherds, for their glory is ruined. The sound of the roar of the lions, for the thicket of the Jordan is ruined. Thus said the Lord my God, become shepherd of the flock, doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished, and those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I have become rich, and their own shepherds have no pity on them. For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of this land, declares the Lord. Behold, I will cause each of them to fall into the hand of his neighbor, and each into the hand of his king, and they shall crush the land, and I will deliver none from their hand. So I became the shepherd of the flock doomed to be slaughtered by the sheep traders, and I took two staves, one I named Favor, the other I named Union, and I tended the sheep. In 1 month I destroyed the three shepherds, but I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. So I said, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. And I took my staff, Favor, and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I made with all the people. So it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages. But if not, keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. Then I broke my second staff, Union, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Then the Lord said to me, take once more the equipment of a foolish shepherd, for behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hoofs. Woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. Let his arm be wholly withered, his right eye utterly blinded.
Is this working now?
Yeah.
We added to the blooper reel last Sunday night. I mean, tapping on, you know, everyone who was here last Sunday night can bear witness with me. The microphone was not working. And I'm sitting here going like this, and people at home are going, quit tapping the microphone. So we have new microphones, by the way. So our tech team figured out it's probably the frequency of our old microphones were 20 years old. And so the frequencies they were operating on were, it's a wonderful tech, you know, they're the same brand. So we got the same one. So maybe these will last until the Lord comes back. But, may God bless that wonderful reading of God's word. Thank you, Jay. We always miss you when you're not here. The message tonight is entitled Worthless Shepherds in Israel. There is this, Zechariah is a difficult book to apply in some ways. In some ways, it's the easiest book of the prophets to apply, because the Lord Jesus, it's his most quoted prophecy. He quoted this, especially during the time of his passion, more than any other of the prophets about himself. The writers quote other. Isaiah is the most quoted, but the Lord Jesus himself, he focused on Zechariah. And for obvious reasons, sometimes they're not so obvious. So you have this wonderful promise that we looked at this morning of restoration and renewal and restoration of Israel to the land in chapter 10, and God's judgment on surrounding enemies. And then all of a sudden you have this shift where there's a promise not of blessing to Israel, but a promise of judgment, and particularly judgment on the worthless shepherds of Israel. And so, coming to this text, you immediately ask, who are these shepherds? Who are these particular three shepherds that Zechariah says he destroyed, or the Lord, by his word, destroyed them? There are all kinds of explanations, I think I'm going to stick to the simplest one. I'm agreeing with the late James Boyce, and so it's always good when you agree with someone of his stature, when he says the simplest explanation is the best explanation. And these shepherds are the prophets, the priests, and the rulers are the kings in Israel who are not caring for the people but are destroying them. But what about the context? When does this take place? There's this immediate promise of restoration, and we know God is fulfilling that promise from the Jews who come back from Babylon. As I mentioned this morning, some of the Jews who were restored 200 years later from Egypt. This is how God brought about the translation of the Old Testament into the Greek, which was the main translation of the New Testament. So who are we talking about here? It begins with a cry to Lebanon to open your doors, that fire may devour your cedars. The cedars have fallen, the glorious trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan. And Bashan is another name for the very upper part of Israel, or Syria, what is now modern-day Syria. Their enemies are going to come from the north, and the people are going to be destroyed. And there's going to be a sound of wail from the shepherds because their glory is ruined. Wilderness surrounding Israel, there's going to be ruin and destruction.
And the reason is because the shepherds have fed themselves, enriched themselves at the expense of the people. It's really that simple. Matthew Henry is one of my favorite commentators. He's an old guy, so I always feel safe with Matthew Henry. But he had one of the most interesting takes on verse 1 that I've read. I haven't read it in any other place. But it totally makes sense, because if you go through here, this prophecy continues, and it's obviously judgment on the land of Israel for their faithless shepherds. Matthew Henry says the open your doors is a reference to the temple. If you remember, where does all the timbers and all the wood from for the temple come from? Lebanon. It's a prophecy of the destruction of the temple itself, which will occur after this present restoration that Zechariah is prophesying about, which will occur after the resurrection of Christ and the time that he predicted in AD 70. Where do their armies that come invading from Rome to bring about that destruction come from? Again, Dr. Boyce says they come from the north. And if you trace the history of the Roman invasion of Israel, you know that Vespasian and Titus, they entered into Israel from Lebanon and the north of Israel, and they came down and destroyed Jerusalem and Masada and overtook the country and completely finished the temple destruction. Burned it. Burned the city to the ground. Burned the temple to the ground, to where, as Jesus prophesied, there was not one stone left upon another. I mentioned going into Caiaphas' house this morning. Denise and I got to go there. What year? That was way back in the 90s? 1999. The church sent us over there on a trip. And we got to go down there and saw Caiaphas' household idols laying around, which was really, you know, I thought it was striking and stunning to see that. But the other thing that I can never get over is all the burnt tiles and how the temple foundation was burnt to the place where the rocks were burnt. And so when Matthew Henry points out the burning here, that the fire may devour the cedars, he thinks that Zechariah is prophesying the destruction of the temple at the hands of the Romans in AD 70. It makes complete sense as we go further into this text. And again, why? The sound of the wail of the shepherds for their glory is ruined. Those who buy the sheep slaughter them, and they go unpunished. Those who sell them say, "Blessed be the Lord, I have become rich," and their shepherds have no pity on them. We are the men's Bible study. We've been working through the Bible for the last 6-7 years. We've arrived back at the Gospels. We've gone through Gospel. We do a Zoom Bible study, and some in person and Zoom now. You can come in at any time, but we're working through the New Testament now at the blistering pace of one chapter a week, and it strikes me every time we read another chapter of how antagonistic the religious rulers of Israel are to Jesus and the disciples. And again, given the other things that are written about in this passage, this is one of the passages that the Gospels say clearly is fulfilled by Jesus, as we'll see in a moment. We have to pay attention to that. And to see how the religious rulers, these worthless shepherds, who were supposed to be in charge of the spiritual life of Israel, thought only of themselves and thought only of enriching themselves, we can see how God's judgment fell. The worthless shepherds feed themselves. They don't care about the flock. They're more interested in fleecing the flock than feeding the flock. They don't seek, in verses 1 through 3, to heal the sick. They don't search out the lost. They don't seek out the needy. They rule with cruelty. And then God says, I became the shepherd of the flock. Or Zechariah says, I became. And he takes two staff. He calls one favor and the other union. And he tends the sheep. But then he says there's going to be judgment on them. What do these staffs represent? Again, the Bible scholars think that they represent northern Israel and southern Israel. And so in the previous chapter, we have a prophecy of restoration, and I believe very clearly a prophecy of future restoration, which I think is starting to occur in Israel, as I said this morning. But in the meantime, there's going to be another judgment. And these two parts of God's people represented by these staffs will be broken, symbolizing the complete annihilation of the people of Israel in the land at that time. They will be scattered because of the faithlessness of the spiritual leaders who were in conflict with Jesus. I'm convinced that that's the message of Zechariah. I'm convinced of that because of what Jesus says about what the Gospels say about these particular people who are abusing God's people. And I'm convinced of it because of what the Gospels say. Jesus said it. He says it's in the scroll of Zechariah. It's also in Jeremiah. These prophecies go together. If you check your cross references, you'll see them go back and forth. He breaks the staff. He annuls the covenant. The temple is destroyed. The old covenant is ended. The new covenant will be established. And then he says, if it seems good to you, give me my wages, verse 12. But if not, keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Where have you heard that before? Remember Judas? Remember what he sold the Lord Jesus to the authorities for? 30 pieces of silver. See the mockery of that. The sarcasm. The lordly price at which I was priced. You know what 30 pieces of silver bought? It was the price of a slave. It was an amount of money that was an insult. In contrast, to the worthless shepherds. God promises that he is raising up a shepherd who will care for his people, who will care for his flock. Now, there are some who are these, if you take this to be the end of Jerusalem in AD 70, then who are these others that are coming who are worthless shepherds? And some would say this is the Antichrist or some figure like this. This was very prominent in the Reformed faith, by the way. Up until the founding of this nation, the Reformers thought the Pope was the Antichrist. It was in our Confession of Faith. It was only changed in the 19th century. Because it didn't work, it's one of those cases where people speculate about prophetic endings, and it made total sense. And it still makes sense that he is an Antichrist and denying the true gospel, but historically fulfilled is not the case. But there are all kinds of false shepherds who traffic in religion. And that's what is being condemned here. Whether it's the false gospel of work salvation that Rome and so many other cults teach that we so easily fall into, or whether it's the false teaching of our present evangelical culture, which boils down to basically be nice to people, keep your nose clean and be nice. Whether it's the cults that are rampant, someone mentioned that. Who is it? Dr. Hyatt's talk this morning that we heard. Those wonderful messages that have been brought. That everybody's religious today. It's no big deal to pray. Everybody prays, but who are they praying to? The Pharisees prayed. Remember, I thank thee, Lord, I'm not like these others. I do all these wonderful religious things, and I thank you that I'm not like these others. What prayer does God hear? The one who can't even lift up his eyes to heaven and says, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. In contrast, the Lord Jesus deliberately put himself in contrast to these false, worthless shepherds. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, listen to what he says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now these in verse 12 are the ones that Zechariah is talking about, and Jesus is declaring them to be fulfilled by, I believe, the Pharisees. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. We live in a world of worthless shepherds. God have mercy on us. The Apostle Paul, the longest ministry he had was Ephesus. He's there for 2.5 years. He's about to leave. What does he say in Acts chapter 20? I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. God God expects his shepherd to feed the sheep, to be faithful in the midst of the onslaught of the enemies of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need faithful shepherds to speak the truth. Israel needs faithful shepherds to speak the truth to Israel. I'm very excited the session approved this week, inviting David Zadok from Israel, a Baptist minister from Israel in the Haifa area, who works with the same organization, Stephen Atkinson, Christian Witness to Israel, to come and minister to us and challenge us about the importance of telling the Jewish people the truth about the gospel. We've been buying trees for Israel for years. That's wonderful. There's about a space of 10 years between the first time I went to Israel. I got to go back and see Melissa and Terry over in Bethlehem. And wonderful to see those cedar trees grow. I bet they're really big now and they're really beautiful. Trees for Israel is great. What's greater is the cross of Jesus, understood by them. And if we truly understand it for ourselves, we can't help but desire the ethnic people of God, the children of Abraham that he has chosen by his sovereign love, to be grafted back in to the olive tree. And when that happens, it will be blessings, as Paul says in Romans, for us and for the world. And that's when wonderful, wonderful things will happen in this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Zechariah and his prophecy. We thank you for the plain fulfillment of those prophecies that encourage us in our faith. These ancient truths that have come to pass because you determined that they would be so. Father, it's truly amazing to comprehend these things. Strengthen our faith by them tonight. Encourage us with the word and with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and feed us, feed our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.